We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But on the line with me is a man who can analyze any issue.
Who's that?
And analyze it more brilliantly than us because he went to Princeton.
Princeton, yep.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, our football expert, the great Ross Tucker. Hi, Ross.
Angelo, what's up, man?
Hey, Russ, I just got to throw you in the middle of this Embiid thing for 1 second because there's a general principle involved here. Joel Embiid wanted to play last night. He was seriously injured. He winced through most of the game. Ross, when a guy's injured, the team has to tell him he can't play, don't they?
That is 1,000% correct. It is up to the team to make sure they protect the player and look out for his best interest. Look, I can tell you, and I don't even know what Embiid's injury is, but I can tell you, Angelo, the NFL guys always want to play.
Yep.
And you know, that's why the Carolina Panthers didn't play Cam Newton in the last two games, right? I mean, sometimes you have to protect players from themselves. And I would think, honestly, especially in the NBA, with how long the season is, and how relatively insignificant each individual game is.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, too, because we have the contrast. Carson Wentz spoke this week, and he openly said he really, really wanted to play. He went doctor shopping. He tried to find a doctor that said he could play with a broken vertebra. He tried to play, and the Eagles said, no, you can't play. Now, did they do that because Foles is a really good backup and they didn't have to worry about it? Or did they do it to preserve the health of their franchise player? I'm guessing it's the latter. What do you think?
It's much more the latter, but it helps that they had Foles. I mean, if they were in the playoffs and didn't have Foles, I wonder if, you know, you never know, but they would have said, because look, he was playing with it before, right? I mean, before they really discovered it and it got to that point, Angelo, he played with it in the Cowboys game. And by the way, the fourth quarter of that game, he was awesome. Yeah. And he was playing with it. So I play with a herniated disc in my back. That doesn't mean you want to do it.
Right.
But I think the Eagles clearly made the right decision. But, you know, I think that there would be different factors in play if they didn't have Nick Foles, put it that way.
All right, so let's start. This is always I always basically go along with Ross on this because he looks at stuff with a lot more of an expert eye than we do. Ross, who do I blame first for what happened Sunday in New Orleans? Who deserves the number one blame for the Eagle loss?
That's a tough one. I would probably lean, the one that would be most frustrating for me would probably be Jim Schwartz.
Wow.
Just in the sense that they let Michael Thomas kill him. And that's the one that really bothers me, is to let Michael Thomas have that big a game. Wow. But other than that, Angelo, I think we're really just talking about injuries. I mean, Josh Hawkins, he should not be on the field. He's like their 11th corner they've used this year.
Right.
But when Rasul went down and when Avante Maddox went down, they had to put somebody in there. And Hawkins was the guy they put in there. And it hurt him a lot in both those situations. But other than that, Angelo, it's a play here by Foles, a play there by Alshon Jeffrey. I think the game's different, frankly, if Brandon Graham just falls on that ball. Mm-hmm. The Eagles get at least 3 points out of that, Angelo. So then they're up 17-0. We could talk about the fake punt. I mean, there's just a series. I'll give you another one that really bothered me. It was a 3rd and 16 for the Saints. Thomas caught it about 3 yards shy of the first down, and he broke two tackles, split two guys to get. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know everybody's tipping their cap to the Eagles, and deservingly so, to come back from where they were. And in truth, Angelo, the crazy part about this season is this is probably about where I thought the Eagles would be. I thought they'd win the division. I thought they'd win a playoff game or at least get the divisional round, but I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl again. The way they got there, the way they ended up getting there, was obviously a lot different than what we thought. But it probably ended about where I thought it would, on the road, Superdome, divisional round. But what's tough is that they got off to such a great start. They played so well. And I'm telling you, we could point to, I think I just pointed to five or six different plays, one play things, where I really think the outcome might have been different if that play was different.
I am flabbergasted by that answer. At no point, Rhea, did you notice anything about Russ's answer there? At no point did he mention Alshon Jeffrey.
That's right.
He never mentioned him.
Oh, that's the other one I wanted to mention.
What do you mean?
No, you're right.
Think you forgot the biggest play, Tucker.
No. I thought I did. So no,
oh,
I said a false
throw. Dropped the ball.
No, I mean, look, I'm not putting the most blame on Alshon because he made some terrific catches. But when I mention the five, six plays, that one play that would have been, that's definitely one of them.
There's a couple of things about that play that we probably will not get over anytime soon. One is, Ross, I'm at the 27 yards. I got 27 yards to go to win the game, right? Why am I rushing to the line 1 second before the two-minute warning? Shouldn't I bleed it down and take a break here?
So I thought that was a mistake. I thought that in my mind at that point, Angelo, I thought they're going to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
But they need to slow down because they're going to give Breeze too much time to get a field goal.
Yeah.
That was honestly what I was thinking. Now,
right.
In fairness to them, he catches that ball. They're at the 20-yard line. Then it's the two-minute warning. And then Doug can choose at that point to manipulate the clock a little bit more the way he wanted to. In other words, in his mind, he's thinking, let's get down inside the 20. Let's get down there. Let's make sure we have plenty of time so that we're not spiking the ball, so that we have plenty of time to run as many plays as we want to make sure we get the touchdown. And if we need to manipulate the clock once we get down there, we can do it. And, you know, I thought that they should have just taken the 2 minute there, but I don't think that's an egregious error. And frankly, the egregious error was clearly the drop, not necessarily Peterson's clock management.
Russ, let me get to a new controversy that actually broke out yesterday involving Fletcher Cox. There is now video out that Fletcher was mailing it in for a lot of the punts, just kind of standing there. And I think that was the tipping point to convince Sean Payton to go for the fake punt 4th and 1. And it was early in the game, but it was a key juncture in the game. What should we think about Cox and the way he was doing that? And why didn't somebody on the Eagles call attention to it? Why did it require the Saints to pick it up and take advantage of it?
I think it's a fair point. Now, when you watch it, I don't really know what Fletcher Cox on the actual Saints play. I don't really know what he could have done differently.
Right.
And I would argue that it was more a coaching tactical error there, Angelo, because if you look, both Haloti Ngata and Fletcher Cox are in the B gaps. That's the gap between the guard and the tackle. Now, it's linebackers, right? It's a punt, but still, it's between the guard and the tackle, which means there's nobody in the gap between the snapper and the guards. So their job is to try to stuff that B gap. They did that pretty well. Taysom Hill ran right up the A gap. To me, that is a tactical error by the Eagles on 4th and 1, not having at least one of those guys in the A-gap. They basically conceded a yard and a half by not having a defensive player in the A-gap. I mean, I watched it.
Yeah.
Fletcher wasn't that bad on that play. Now,
hold on. You're missing my argument. Yes, he wasn't. He got swallowed up. They went after him. They only tried it because they had seen on tape his tendency in the past. If he had been busting it previously, they would have been far less likely to call the fake punt in that moment. That he actually blew that play in the previous game against the Bears because it convinced the Saints to do it.
I think that there's some truth to that. I also think that the fact that they were there was nobody in the A gaps on either side was a big part of it, because there's a difference, Angelo, between midfield, fourth and four against the Bears, you know, 45-yard line, fourth and six versus fourth and one.
You're right.
And he came off the rock. I mean, and they know that. They know if it's fourth and one, their own 30. Fletcher Cox isn't going to stand up like he did when he knew the Bears weren't faking it.
All right. Now, I got to get to these games on Sunday because they are intriguing. Al, you said it. These are the best matchups you could get, right?
A young quarterback, old quarterback.
I mean,
this is awesome.
This is good stuff. All right. So let me start with your former coach, Bill Belichick, right, versus Andy Reid. Who do you like in that game, Russ Tucker?
I like Belichick probably in the coaching matchup between those two, just because of the proven track record in a one-game situation.
Yeah.
But I probably like the Chiefs to win, although it's a real toss-up.
All right, but you do understand that Andy Reid brings into this playoff game a record of failure in big moments because he doesn't know how to manage a clock. Can I look forward to the possibility of that happening one more time on Sunday, Russ Tucker?
It's possible, but I hope not. We're rooting for him, Angel. You're not rooting for Andy?
Not at all.
Come on, man.
Bill Belichick, your former coach, is my guy in that game.
Hello? I like it. I'm here.
Come on.
I'd be very happy for Tom Brady. I'll leave it at that. I'd be very happy for Tom Brady.
All right, can I play something for you? Joe, back there, I need number 10. I need to know if this is the way Belichick coach. You played for Belichick in New Orleans, so you could tell me. I'm sorry, in New England, so you could tell me. Bill Belichick was asked, you got to hear this byplay, because I'm wondering if he's the same way in the locker room. Listen to Bill yesterday. Ross,
that's how he rolls, man.
Was he like that in the locker room when he's talking to the team?
No. That's just
wasn't.
How he is with the media because he doesn't want to give him any information.
Okay.
He's not like that at all with us.
Was he fiery? What was he like?
Condescending and sarcastic.
Even then, wow.
Yeah, matter of fact, and probably condescending and sarcastic. Yeah.
Wow, that's some. What about the other game, the Rams and the Saints? What do you think there?
I like the Saints. I mean, I just have the least amount of faith in Jared Goff out of the four quarterbacks that are left in this game, and I anticipate the Saints winning that game. I mean, that's just – unless the Rams can run it, that's going to be tough. The Superdome, I still have a headache from last Sunday. It's crazy.
It was bad, huh? It was really, really loud.
It was insane. I had buddies come down from Reading. They said it was the loudest place they've ever been. It was. I mean, it was. That's why it was so impressive the start the Eagles got off to.
They should have won that game. Can I say they should have won that game, Ross?
They could have won that game is the way I would say it. I mean, the Saints also, they had a touchdown comeback.
Yep.
Breeze underthrew a couple passes. I mean, the kid missed a field goal or the game would have been over. There's a lot of other ways to say it, too.
Russ Tucker, thank you as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.